2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to the season-long fantasy basketball podcast, DFS Army version, sponsored by our friends at OverlayDFS.com, the start-sit game with the progressive jackpots, and a head-to-head version as well now. I am season-long says, at Alan Sislowski, joined by our presidente and chief ST, the geek. How are you, geek?
What's going on, Sez, man? Love talking some hoops. And, you know, it's been 2 weeks into the season. So it's week three, 2.5 weeks into the season.
We're in week four.
Is it?
Yes, this is week four.
Well, if you're counting that first couple of days, I don't count that. But yes, we're a few weeks into the season. Things are starting to kind of level out. And I'm excited to jump on with you here, talk some fantasy basketball, just in general. I love me some DFS fantasy basketball, and a lot of that translates over to some of our season-long brothers and sisters. So really excited to be in here and chatting about this stuff, and also a little bit talking about some Overlay DFS, which is an awesome site.
Yeah, it's what's interesting is that, you know, you got our site, our dfsarmy.com, started off as a primarily DFS website. And, you know, we've always sprinkled in a little bit of the season-long. I mean, there's people that play both, and it just seems like more and more people are now playing both. Even the DFS Army subscribers are coming back to season long. So what we're doing is providing more and more content for them. And this year was a big growth year for season long football. And now it's spilled over into season long basketball. So, you know, these podcasts that we've been doing just on kind of giving them a weekly update of what's been going on our season long leagues, is they've been well received. So we're going to continue doing them.
I love it. And absolutely. Listen, I'm born of the season-long fantasy football craze, right? That's what I came from. That's what I was into. That's what I love. That's how I got into DFS. And obviously, DFS has sort of overtaken that in terms of the obsessiveness. And part of what I liked about season-long fantasy football and any season-long sport is just if you obsess over it, if you spend more time, if you research more, if you outwork your opponent, it will lead to success. And I love winning. So I'm willing to outwork you to beat you. I love to win.
But what's great is, though, is that you listen to these podcasts, especially your DFS ones, your season long ones. We do a lot of the work for you because we teach you the process. But and what you guys do on the DFS side is just unbelievable. But what we're trying to do is just get you updated from a season long perspective as well. And you know, we'll put in a lot of that work for you so you can just have your lazy ass and just turn on the podcast. You don't have to dig into the numbers like we do.
Absolutely. And I like season long because on all of these sports, even more so on the football side, you know, waiver pickups are pretty much like tournament plays also, low cost tournament plays, like your pickups of the week. I always listen to that, because I'm in a lot of leagues together with you and I like to snake you.
You did.
On a lot of these guys, which I always do, and I'm sure it pisses you off, but I don't care. Thanks for doing the research for me. And the other part is, you know, when somebody's a great pickup in your season-long league on waivers, he's probably playable this week on DFS for cheap. So really good stuff. And let's get right into this fantasy basketball breakdown. And we're coming on, you're telling me week four. It feels like week three to me. I'm going to call it week three.
No. Don't confuse everyone, because in season-long leagues, this is week four.
Okay, we're going into week four.
No, we are in week four. It's Friday, baby.
Week four. We're going into week five. All right. And first topic of the day, let's talk about your favorite team, the New York Knicks.
This is how you're gonna start it off, man, by taking shots at me and my New York Knicks. I mean,
you're here. You don't care that Jim Dolan is the owner, you're still a fan. You don't care that they brought in Isaiah Thomas at one point as a GM, still a fan. Now they bring in Fizdale, the most hated coach in all of fantasy sports. Yeah. You're still a fan. What the hell is going on with these Knicks? And what's up with my boy, Frank Ntilikina?
Ugh.
Looked pretty good. No, don't ugh him. He's looked pretty good in a couple games.
I know, but they're not really stepping on the gas with him. I mean, yeah, a couple games, but why are they waiting so long? I mean, they should have been developing him over the last couple of years. But you know, it's the millennials that we always kind of bag on them, and even the Generation Z for not liking teams, for liking players. This player Kyrie goes there, they follow Kyrie. Tobias Harris goes to that team, they followed Tobias Harris. Maybe there's something to that, because I'm sticking with the same old Knicks, and it's just been, I mean, decades now of disappointment. They're 3-9, second to last in the Eastern Conference. And you mentioned Fizdale. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, Mitchell Robinson has almost become unplayable for fantasy. I know he's been banged up a little bit there and there, but why? I just don't understand why they wouldn't commit to someone like him. If you drafted him in your fantasy league, and we were recommending that you do, we were getting aggressive on him. We didn't anticipate this level of low usage. And, I'm almost looking at, like, the Celtics' Robert Williams. I think I'd almost rather have him rest of season. I mean, it's close at this point.
No, you're overreacting.
I know I am, but, I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. I'm usually, like, with fantasy football, I'm able to put my fandom aside. With the New York Knicks, I do make a rational suggestion sometimes, but I just can't believe it. I thought for sure Mitchell Robinson would return like late first round, early second round value. I mean, we weren't taking him to like the sixth round, but it hasn't worked out. And you bring up a sore subject right away. It's how do you do that to me?
I actually believe that Mitch Robinson, or M Rob as he's known around here, will turn it around. He's been hurt. Like, you can't hold too much against him, but it is a little weird how the Knicks run their rotations, and it's pretty scary if you have to lock in a player for the whole week. Any Knick you want to lock in, who do you want to lock in? There's Randall. Like, they're all a little bit sketchy, their rotation.
I mean, RJ Barrett, I mean, he's been all right.
The one day I went all in on him on DFS, he fucking tanked. But the one time, now I have cognitive bias against him. But I will say, the only other team that reminds me of the Knicks in the weird way they run those rotations are the Kings. And you happen to have a picture of one of the Sacramento Kings here in our sleeve. What is this? An overlay?
Yeah, it's an overlay. Now, if you're listening on the audio, you got to. So there's a bunch of people watching on the video, but tell them if they're on the audio who I put on the overlay. I mean, I know it's really random.
I'm seeing my boy Malcolm Brogdon there.
No, you got Bogdanovich over there.
Bogdanovich. One of the Bogdanoviches. Yeah. Brogdon. Is that a Brogdon? Boban? Well, Bogdan? Which one is it? Boban.
But I'm just saying, but by the way, you bring up Brogdon, though. I mean,
I thought it was Brogdon was the guy you'd want to put up there.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon. Now, Malcolm Brogdon, it's funny that the Milwaukee Bucks, they opted not to pay him. And now he's on the Indiana Pacers, and he is returning first-round fantasy value. He's leading the league in assists. It's crazy. I mean, they asked Giannis and Chris Middleton. They said, how do you feel that they let this guy go? I mean, they were obviously like, we'd rather have him here. I mean, because he's looking like a star. The guy, won rookie of the year, his rookie year. And then he kind of had, just was like a solid guy. But he is literally a superstar at this point. He's looking like a lock to be an all-star after the first 10, 12 games here.
I always find it fascinating when a 5K DFS player explodes to 8 or 9K the next year. And you're like, wait a minute. This guy was so inconsistent last year, like you couldn't really even get too excited about him. And now he's popping off as a stud, same price as, Kyrie Irving and these kind of guys. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? It's very strange. What changed with him? Is he a better player? And we could talk about another guy.
His team changed.
The role? There's so many like that. There's a few guys like that to talk about this season. I mean, my goodness, Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little more obvious that it was coming with Pascal Siakam, as he last year was his big breakout, where he was an undrafted guy in season-long leagues and then became a second-round value. I mean, it was a little, now with Kawhi gone in Toronto, it was a little more obvious he was going to break out. I don't think anybody saw Malcolm Brogdon, because he was going in like the seventh or eighth round of most drafts. And he obviously, if we redrafted today, would be a first-round pick, or, very minimum the first couple picks of the second round. So, I mean, it's a very valid comparison, but sometimes these things reveal themselves a little bit earlier and sometimes not. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely when we get to our injury section, that's kind of why I put the Bobanovich. I don't even have, now you have me saying it wrong.
What's his name? Bogdan? Bogdanovich?
Bogdanovich.
Boban? Is this Bogdan or Boban? Or Boban?
It's not Boban. Boban is the big 7'4".
No,
guy.
I know who Boban is. I love Boban. But, right. You know, there's a Brogdon, there's a Bogdan. All right, I don't even want to. I don't have the name in front of me. I can't remember. I never know. I have to look at the team name. All right, let's actually talk about, so you mentioned key injuries, right?
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward.
I mean,
He was coming along.
All right. He was finally getting back to being Gordon Hayward, the guy who the highly touted free agent who the Celtics signed from the Utah Jazz. And we saw the gruesome injury, you know, the previous year where he just went down. And then last year, he did not look like himself, understandably. I mean, how are you going to look like yourself after a gruesome injury like that? You know, a lot of minutes going on. Now this year, he literally looked like a key piece of, and the Celtics are in first place, and then broken wrist. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's so many guys.
Yeah. Broken wrist, that kind of an injury. You know, what the hell's up with this guy's brittle bones, man? I mean, you're playing basketball.
I mean, it could just be injury, bad luck. Don't you think? I mean,
anything's possible. You know, there are certain injuries. It's like with your car. Okay. If you got to change the tires, the normal shit that goes on, great. You know, an alternator went, oh, that's a little scary, but I'm still okay with it. But if you start hearing, like, you know, the bearings need to be changed, at some point, this car is a piece of shit. Like, the camshaft is no good. Like, when you start hearing things that you've never heard of going wrong, and that to me is what the wrist is. Like, you know, tear an ACL, okay. You're breaking your wrist?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on with that? And you broke your leg and your foot, like that gruesome. I watched it. I can't remember. He broke his ankle or something. It was horrible to watch at the time, that injury 2 seasons ago. But maybe this guy's bones are a little brittle. But I'm not a doctor. I don't fucking know.
It says left hand. I'm just looking it up as going on. It says Hayward is expected to miss 6 weeks after undergoing surgery on his left hand. Yeah, I mean, it's broken hand. I mean, in Curry, you saw Curry's injury. I mean, the injuries are piling up at this point.
What did Curry actually hurt?
I believe he was a wrist. I'm just looking it up.
That's
as
a wrist.
Yeah. I mean, his was gruesome. A player fell on his arm and it just like bent the wrong way. Mm. And, you know, we were recommending taking Curry in the first three picks of your fantasy draft. I mean, he was just ready for a monster season with being the only game in town. And now he's basically out for months. I mean,
I think he's done for the year. I don't know if
I mean, that's a reasonable take.
Yeah,
that's certainly a reasonable take. I mean, some of the other injuries, Chris Middleton went out. He's going to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks on the Milwaukee Bucks. I had him in a league too. It's just such a bummer. And then
who does that injury benefit the most? Let's talk about the Middleton injury.
Who can I
pick up on waivers from Milwaukee? You know, what can I do with that injury? Middleton wasn't so great anyway, but what can I do with that injury?
I mean, he was returning fifth round value to you in fantasy league. So he was a guy, he wasn't like a superstar, but he was a guy that was anchoring your team in the middle rounds where that draft starts to get a little murky, you know, where he's like one of the last of a tier of players that you can count on for production. So, I mean, the production's probably going to be split up a few ways. The guy I picked up was Sterling Brown, who stood out a little bit last year and the year before. I mean, again, who knows? He's going into the starting lineup. Mm. Now, that, you know, does mean something. DiVincenzo should get some minutes.
DiVincenzo, I believe, started last night.
Is that right? Okay, yeah.
He got the start.
I mean, who knows I think it's one of those situations where it's going to be a little bit wide open, and whoever shows well, I mean, you know, I get a lot of questions in the DFS Army Slack chat, and what I tell people is follow the minutes, follow the usage. I know that's, you know, a little bit of generic advice, but it certainly is, you know, what you should do. I mean, so you're looking last night, I'm looking at, I'm trying to look up what Sterling Brown did. The Bucks might even play tonight, so we'd have to look that up. Who might be someone that you think is a good find there in Milwaukee? Do you have any take on where you think they might go?
I didn't see a lot. I didn't see a lot to like. So that was kind of why I was throwing the question back at you, because I thought it might be DiVincenzo, but he really did nothing with his minutes last night. So that's why I'm like, hey, who the hell is on this team that we can really assume will replace the production that Middleton was putting out there?
it could be one of those things where they chop up his minutes into like two or three parts and then nobody benefits. We see that all the time in many sports where not even a star player, but a good player goes down and they just chop up his minutes into multiple parts. Another player that I thought was a terrible injury is De'Aaron Fox, man. He was off to a little bit of a mediocre start anyway, and now he's out for about a month. I know it said the timeline was 2 to 3 weeks. I always default to the back end of that. And I think that's why our man Bogdanović is looking like a superstar. I mean, literally looking like a superstar.
Very sharp play. Jumping onto Bogdanović with Fox going down. I'm trying to remember who the backup actual point guard is on that team. I tried using Hield in my, you know, in my DFS lineups, thinking that was the sharp move. And then, of course, it was Bogdanović. So, you know, seeing that having happened, I think that's the way that the production will go. But there's also a new starting point guard over there. I cannot remember who, though, got that work.
So Bogdanović. Listen to his scoring totals over the last three games.
By the way, if you're his, I know this joke has been told before, but
go ahead.
Oh, Bogdanović. his mother's like, oh, I named child Bogdan. That's why it's very easy to remember. Bogdanović. Very good.
Right. I mean, I think that's common in some of those European countries, the Eastern European countries, to have a similar sound.
They're so poor there, they can't afford two different names.
Oh, you just offended our entire Eastern European audience here. But there's more. our scoring numbers for Bogdanović over the last few games, listen to these. It's 22 points, 20 points, and 25 points. I'm talking about real points. Fantasy-wise, it's been about 35 points per game, and then he had a 52-point explosion the other night. See, he's going to be a free agent and going to want to get paid at the end of the year. The Kings are going to have to decide if he's worth a $100 million contract. I mean, that's what guys at that level now get. At his current salary, I think he's making about $8 million. He is the perfect trade guy right now. So the Kings need to decide what they're going to do. Are they going to lock him up or trade him if they're not going anywhere? Because any team would take on $8 million. Even, you know, I was thinking someone like the Milwaukee Bucks, who are going to have to compete in the East. This would be a perfect trade partner for them. Even as a rental, if you had to give up some sort of some player package or some draft equity.
Absolutely. That is a, we know with the NBA, if you're not going to compete this year, and I'm not sure Sacramento is considered a playoff contender this year, but if you're not going to compete and you got a guy on a contract like that, and you're another team that maybe thinks he's a long-term piece, that's a great spot. That's a great spot to make a trade. I'm not sure that will help his fantasy value. I don't think he's doing anything better anywhere than what he's doing right now, especially with Fox out for the Kings. Let's talk about some surprise breakouts this season beyond Bogdanović. We talked about in the preseason draft pods, my boy, you know, I got to bring up my boy, Luka Doncic, right?
Yeah, he has just been, I mean, we knew he was going to be good, but he's literally been like a top five pick. I mean, he's just...
Just to be clear on what's going on with Doncic right now, he is salaried just about the same as Harden. That's how sort of explosive his scoring has been. The combination of him and Kristaps, that combo together, it's like peanut butter and jelly, man. They go together beautifully.
Porzingis hasn't been like great night in, night out, but Luka, he is the number three overall rated fantasy player. Mutt and I were pushing him as a first round pick. We wouldn't have been shocked if anyone took him in the top six to top five. We certainly, we knew he had the upside. What's crazy, though, is, you know, Trae Young, who's had this amazing breakout too, which, you know, we advocated taking Trae Young and Luka on the 12-13 turn. But those guys, you remember, they were traded for each other on draft night. It was the Hawks that drafted Luka Doncic, and it was Dallas that drafted Trae Young, and they made a trade for each other, which is totally now, amazing. There's no losers in this trade.
Well, who gave up something for that trade? It wasn't just
the Hawks. I think the Hawks gained a pick.
Okay. So, I mean, you know what? That's fair. If you had to pick today, you're the GM, you're Mark Cuban. All right. First thing you do, tell your strippers, get out of the room. I got to make a pick. Okay. Because I'm Mark Cuban. He's got like five hot chicks around him all the time. And you're choosing, I think you're choosing Doncic first. I think Luka.
Yeah.
So like it's a fair trade. You know what I'm saying? Like you would, they gave up a pick is not egregious to me at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm just saying it's amazing, and they're both going to end up being superstars. Before we continue with this conversation, I just want to know if you are tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win salary cap DFS. Tired of having your salary cap lineup out of the money in the first 5 minutes? Introducing a new daily fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups like you, Geek, do not have the advantage. OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start-sit game for fantasy sports, the destination of the 10-entry GPP, and also the game where you have best record wins. And that's the one our friend John Alicia has been playing, you know. So as you know, in their progressive jackpot game, you win 9 times your buy-in. If you win that, usually with a 9-3, 8-4, or sometimes 7-5 record. And if you go a perfect 12-0 geek, as you know, you can hit the jackpot like somebody did last, was it a couple weeks ago? But what's really interesting, and I want our listeners to know, when you play OverlayDFS.com, they also have a game where, say there's 10 of you or, you know, a handful of you or a bunch of people in this game, it's the best record win. So somebody, and you only pick 10 in this format, you don't pick 12. So if somebody hits, you know, 8 wins, they win the whole jackpot. They win the whole thing. So
yeah, that's not the jackpot. That's the prize pool,
correct,
of entry fees. And yeah, that's I guess maybe something that I like that even better. I love the progressive jackpot, the possibility of hitting perfection and kind of winning a big pool.
But it's hard to do, man.
All the time. It's super hard. Right. But what's not that hard is going up in a standard 3-man game and, you know, playing against your buddies, and then you don't need to be perfect, or playing against two other not people you hate, my enemies. If you're playing against me, you're my enemy. I don't want to be clear. So playing against your enemies, but it's just, you know, it's a 3-man, you don't have to be perfect. Like, and one of the other cool things, like even right now, as I look at, but like, you know,
the best record win is 100. I'm looking at the one right now, and they have the best record up for it's 100 entries. So there's 25 people in it. It's loading up as we actually speak. It's an $11 entry fee, and they're going to have 100 people. So whoever has the best record out of that group will win the pool.
Yeah, but they pay out the top 25. But they pay out the top 25. That, but like just getting down into the actual picks this week, like a couple of them are really like, there's a few picks this week that are really interesting because it's player same team, and some of these players are out this week. So spoiler alert: Zach Ertz will do better than Alshon Jeffrey. Play Ertz free square. There's another one I really like this week with Curtis Samuel matched up against DJ Moore in one of their games, and it's like, dude. And my boy DJ Moore got to play him.
Yeah, but what's really fun about this, though, is one of my favorite things to do in fantasy is like, you know, or I could say that one of the most agonizing things to do is make these start sits with these marginal players. Like, you know, I don't like choosing between Trey Burton and, you know, and Jason Witten in my fantasy football leagues. But what's really cool about their game where their best record wins is you're choosing between Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey. Like, that's fun. Like, hey, who's going to win then? So, and if you, for example, I like to do like these mini stacks where I pick, say, Jameis Winston, and then I'll pick his receiver. So every time that, those two are hook up, I have Jameis versus a quarterback, and I have Mike Evans versus another receiver on another team. So I'm winning both of those. And that's what's really cool. There's this whole strategy to the game that you can kind of uncover as you go along. It's literally one of my favorite games to play from a DFS perspective on the internet.
Very cool. And I'm filling out my sheet even as we're talking right now, because there's a lot of very obvious ones, in my opinion, in week 11 of the NFL season. So get in there. Check it out.
Yeah, we're going to start playing a lot more. And because, you know, it's the couple times that we played, we were like, oh, my God, we got to do this more often. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's a very winnable game, especially in that contest where the best record wins. They give the first place on an $11 game, for example, the first place will get $100, and then the top 10% will win $90. So get in there at OverlayDFS.com. Check it out and play.
And if you know, by the way, who between Godwin or Evans is going to be better this week, hit me up on Twitter, because I'm struggling with that decision this
every week.
Every week. All right, let's get back into it. So getting back to fantasy basketball, there's a guy who I knew as a turd last season, right? A do not play. Now he appears to be breaking out, and his picture was recently on the screen. He's not there now, but he was there earlier. Jaylen Brown. Tell me what the hell's going on with Jaylen Brown. I thought this guy was a bust. He didn't look like he was that good. Now he's putting up 20 points a game. I almost, you know, I have this cognitive bias against him.
Yeah.
Should I leave my cognitive bias at the door?
Well, we all knew that he was a good player. I mean, coming out of college. And he was known as more of a good reality player, not a great fantasy player, but he did blow up in spots. Sometimes these guys, 2-3 years in the league, they just click. Now, Gordon Hayward being out certainly helps free up some minutes for Jaylen Brown. And now that Kyrie's gone, but Jaylen Brown, when they talked to him, he said he's having more fun playing. And we all know when you're having fun, you're going to do something better because you're more passionate about it, into it. And it showed. The guy's scoring 20 points a game. I've been shocked just as much as you are that he'd break out, especially for fantasy. There's been a few guys like that, but Jaylen Brown, man, he's going to end up being the pickup of the year. If he was drafted in most casual 12 team leagues, he was a late pick. In sharper leagues, he might have been aggressively drafted a little bit earlier, but I don't think anybody expected him to break out.
I like it. Yeah. So, well, speaking of breakouts, because I want to stay on that topic. We're according to you, 5 weeks into this. I don't know if I believe that.
But we're in week
according
four.
To you, according to you, we're 4 or 5 weeks into the season, right? And there have been some really impressive early season breakouts. And I think this last one is the most recent, but I'm going to throw out some names. A couple of them have been really like out of nowhere. And Brandon Ingram, really from the beginning of the season, has been spectacular. I saw Tristan Thompson crushing three-pointers the other day and literally doing moves that he thought, like, this guy thinks he's Kyrie Irving out there, dribbling behind the back and shooting from half court. Like, he's out there like James Harden. You've got Brogdon, your boy, Jaylen Brown. And of course, the least likely of all of them, Andrew Wiggins. What?
Yeah, let's talk about Andrew Wiggins for a second, because, you know, he was the number one overall pick when he came out his draft year. I mean, he was traded immediately for Kevin Love. And it was mostly a disappointment. He was kind of like a points guy, but it was a low percentage he was shooting. And he has now taken that step in the first 10 or 12 games. He has looked like a superstar. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but he just looks like a different player. I was upset in my personal home league fantasy draft when I passed on Bam Adebayo for him. And I was like, oh my God, why did I just pass on Bam? Bam was everyone's favorite sleeper. And
he's been great, by the way.
Been great. But I thought I could play chicken one more round with Bam. I was like, I'll just take Andrew Wiggins. I'm not regretting that anymore. Andrew Wiggins has just been awesome, man. I mean, I'm just looking right now. He's returning around second round value. I mean, his fantasy points, listen to his fantasy points over the last four games, Geek. 54, 50, 40, and 62.
It's been ridiculous. Somebody went down on that team, point guard. Or has been
Jeff Teague?
Yeah, but he's kind of back now. I mean, but do you think
it doesn't matter?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is his surge more to do with kind of ball handling and Teague being out, or is it just something else? Like,
he's shooting the ball well. He in the past, he was a very inefficient shooter, and now he's making his shots. He's still getting about 20 attempts a game. But, you know, he was making like 6 or 7 of those. Now he's making like 10 or 12 of those a game, and sometimes 15 of those a game. The difference is he just became a better shooter.
But has he increased his assist rates?
Oh, yeah. No, so
steal rates?
Great question. So he's put together a string of 5 assists or more in a week's worth of games already. The last time Andrew Wiggins had 5 assists in back-to-back games was 2 years ago. So, he's literally that's a good point that you made, that his assist numbers are consistent. And I mean, 5 assists for a player that's known as a scorer is just unbelievable gravy. I mean, he was normally a points guy, what they call it, an empty points guy. So yeah, Andrew Wiggins, if you probably reluctantly took him or got a good value on him, he's returning second round value right now. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. And you hit on Tristan Thompson. I think that it's not a surprise. It's a surprise that he's been consistent, but it's no surprise. We've seen him be a good player. And then the other, you talk about Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram, I'm not sure we would have seen this, or we may have, if the Zion injury didn't happen. Now, Brandon Ingram's been banged up the last couple games. He'll be back, hopefully, tomorrow. But, hey, look, the Zion injury, sometimes, you know, one door closes, another one opens. I think that, you know, right now the Lakers, they were insistent on keeping Kyle Kuzma and pushing Brandon Ingram out the door. Not so sure that they would make that same decision if given the opportunity today in the Anthony Davis trade.
It's crazy. I mean, Ingram had so many chances last year to step up and lead the team. There were all these injuries. LeBron was out, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was just disappointing. Him and Kuzma, a lot of disappointment last year. And, you know, to see him doing this, it's like, what happens over the offseason that a guy goes from so inconsistent? And maybe it's just a little experience. I don't know. But it really has been spectacular to see how much improvement a guy can make just over an offseason and a team switch. And we'll see if that can continue or if that's just an anomaly early season. But it does seem to have legs.
I got a little stat here that I pulled for you. I saw this tweeted out, and I thought this was important. I wish I can give credit to who showed it to me. But Brandon Ingram right now is averaging more points per game than LeBron James, Joel Embiid, and Devin Booker. I mean, more PPG. He's averaging about 25-plus per game.
He's been spectacular.
That's Wiggins. I said, yeah. Wiggins, yeah.
Wiggins also. I mean, Ingram, yeah. And Wiggins. Wiggins more recently, Ingram just every time he's played.
Yeah.
Has been spectacular.
So. Yeah, man. So,
all right. So let's move on to the final topic. Who are we picking up this week? It's Friday, November 15th. I got to make my pickups over the weekend. Who am I targeting? How much FOB? Give me the breakdown.
Yeah. So if you're in FOB leagues, you have to be really judicious with how you dole out the FOB, because here today, gone tomorrow. It's not like in football where you pick up that big running back and they're good for the rest of the year.
So just to say, because my style is, you know, in NFL, for example, this week, if I had any FOB left, I blew it all on Brian Hill.
Yeah.
I'm putting the whole thing in. I'm all in. I like to go all in on players.
Totally. But this early in the season, these are marginal guys that'll help you over the next week or two. Especially you want to look for guys in your weekly leagues that have four games the next week. So I put together a list of three players I thought could be pickups that were likely available in your 12-team league. So the first one is Dario Saric on the Phoenix Suns. He's about 40% owned. I mean, look, he's still good at basketball. I mean, over the last three games, he's averaging almost 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 threes a game. That's useful production in fantasy basketball. And I've had some add-drop Tourette's with him. I've dropped him, added him. But he's a player that's likely available in your 12-team league. If you're in a little bit deeper league, he's probably owned. But Dario Saric on the Phoenix Suns is getting the run. He has 4 games a season. He would be my number one pickup of the week.
Nice. Saric, 4K player on most of the DFS sites, but has been delivering about 25 fantasy points per game. So most days. So he's been one of these yeoman-like performers this season. Certainly a nice little fill-in. Anyone else I should... that's not an empty the FOB situation for me. Like,
None of these are.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some of the crazy centers that have been stepping forward. Like, what about the Swatter Boy? Boucher, the Swatter Boy. I just like the nickname. Bobby Boucher, but you know, it's another. It's a
for who? Who are you talking about?
He's the center. His last name's Boucher.
Oh, I mean, he's not on my pickup list.
He's been starting for. He's been a fill-in player starting. He didn't have a great game.
Okay. You're talking about like guys that are like one game fill-ins. I'm talking about guys that you could pick up.
I just wanted to use the nickname the Swatter Boy.
Oh, so you know there was a guy named Bobby Boucher in one of our fantasy leagues. Remember that?
No, Bobby. Oh my God, you've done fucking. You know nothing of pop culture. Get your head out of your ass. And watch Waterboy, okay, with Adam Sandler.
His name was
Bobby Boucher. That's what that comes from. And he was the Waterboy. So this guy's last name is Boucher. They call him the Swatter Boy.
Swatter Boy. All right. You know what? I'm not a big Adam Sandler guy. But recently I've turned on that a little bit. My wife put me on an Adam Sandler binge diet, and I'm back in. So I'll have to see Waterboy.
How have you not seen Waterboy?
You know what? It's one of those things.
Shut it down. I'm done.
All right. In an effort to shut the podcast on the rails and keep it going, for the, I'll give you my last two pickups of the week. Daniel House on the Houston Rockets. He's just under 50% owned. So in your 12-team league, he might be owned. He's been banged up a little bit with a sore back, but he's been the, you know, he's with Eric Gordon out, he is just going to get as many minutes as he can handle. So he needs to be off your waiver wire. He has just been on fire. I picked him up last week, and he got hurt in the middle of the week. So I've been collecting zeros, but he's going to be back. He just has a sore back, I believe. He's just been nailing threes. He's been a nice third option on that team. So Daniel House, get him off your waiver wire. He's on there, and the Houston Rockets play four games next week. My last waiver pickup, I'm going to make you laugh with this one. And this one's more of a little nostalgia for me. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony was just signed by the Trailblazers last week. And, you know, let's be clear. Carmelo hasn't played a game in over a year. All right.
He wasn't good when he was playing a year ago.
Correct. But it's worth a pickup. I mean, if he is, you know, they need him. Portland needs him. So I'm saying there's a chance that Carmelo Anthony can be a 15.5 rebound type of player. And who knows? He's certainly motivated after being pushed out of the league. So I recommend him someone might pick him up just on name value, but him, you might actually, believe it or not, have to put more money on than some of those other players just on name value alone. I advocate picking him up, especially, I mean, in deeper leagues, he's gone already. I think he can end up, you know, I mean, you'll know right away. First couple of games doesn't look good, cut him.
If I could get just a look at Carmelo, if he's fat, then no. But yeah. If he's thin, I'm in.
He's thin, I'm in. Yeah, he's highly motivated. You know, we shall see. So, everyone, this has been our season-long fantasy basketball from DFS Army. If you like what you're hearing, just remember to ring the bell on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Also, like and subscribe to our Facebook and our Twitter. We've been sending out tweets, some promotional stuff, some informational stuff. Also, on Twitter, follow this man sitting next to me, at FFootballGeek. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Alan Seslowski, a.k.a. Season Long Says. Anything else that you want to tell the people that you're doing?
Just as always, if you want to be able to directly ask questions with Says, talk about Season Long, fantasy sports, football, basketball, sit start, all of that good shit. Or if you're into DFS and you want to start crushing NBA like we do in DFS Army, go get signed up at DFS Army as a DFSArmy.com VIP. And you will get every sport covered. We're crushing NBA already this year. More of the same. It's consistent. One of the things we do that's different, and I'm going to speak specifically to NBA, the key to basketball, and the fact that you don't know some of these crazy backup players who occasionally thrust the starter's name, that's what we're focused on, okay? The ultimate in making money in daily fantasy basketball is all about being able to pivot quickly when news strikes. Last night, today is Friday, last night, there's a bunch of players out for New Orleans. A bunch of normally turd players like Kendrick Williams and Etuan Moore became really, and Derek Favors became super viable starters. Our projection system within 5 minutes jacked up those projections. Like every lineup you generated had that group in there. Favors came in with almost 50 fantasy points. That's how it happens. And you have zero chance of being successful in daily fantasy basketball if not only you have great advice and you're on top of breaking news, but unless the projection system, which we manually handle, we don't wait for numbers to filter through. We deal with these manually so that within minutes of a piece of news hitting, our projection system is updated with the latest news, the latest minutes projections, all that good shit. That's what gives you the edge in daily fantasy basketball. So if you're into fantasy basketball at all, you want to check out DFS Army, you must become a VIP because access to our forums is critical for the breaking news factor. And that is how you have success in daily fantasy basketball. It's a very numbers-oriented sport. That's why I don't even give a shit. You hear me struggling with these names? I don't know and I don't care. All I care about is what they score per minute, how many minutes I can expect out of them, and what is their salary compared to the minutes expectation. It's a numbers game. You must have an optimizer to really get great lineups together, and that optimizer needs to update fast. Sorry, I rambled on, but I feel very strongly about it. No,
this is good information. This is good.
You hear my lack of I'm not all up in fantasy basketball. I know every football player there is. That's what my head is at during NFL season. I love fantasy basketball. I cannot put my full thought into it, but I play daily fantasy basketball every single day. I use the optimizer. We have coaches who are breaking down each slate, putting their core plays together, cheat sheets. The combination is spectacular. It shows in the winnings. We have players taking down tournaments every single day or most days, and you'll see the screenshots out on Twitter. So check us out, dfsarmy.com. Sign up as a VIP and start competing like a pro.
All right. Well, Geek, thanks for taking time. I know you're busy. I know you're pumping up football. I appreciate you coming on our season-long fantasy basketball podcast, giving back to the people. They love when you're on. And we will see everybody this weekend on the Beat the Bookie podcast and then back on the Waiver Wire podcast early next week, heading into the following week, and then back with Geeks Vegas Lines every Wednesday. All right, my brother. Until next time, may all your players stay healthy.
Take care, guys.